This is the State Capitol Report on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine at 7:06 on Monday, February 10th. Ahead this hour, Senator Bob Wirch joins us to talk about the proposed Kenosha Casino and why he's frustrated that a decision on the matter might be delayed. Plus, he'll weigh in on Governor Walker's proposed tax cut plan and why he says Wisconsin should raise its minimum wage. But first, WPR's state government reporter Sean Johnson is with us to catch us up on what's happened in the state legislature over the past week or so. You're welcome to call in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR.org. Sean Johnson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Sure. So it looks like an apparent rift, but also a deal among Republicans over Scott Walker's proposed tax cut plan.
It does. And, you know, it's not finalized. We don't know what they might throw in there at the end, you know, to get everything on board. It could end up being sort of like a budget bill where they throw this idea and that idea in there in the end. But assuming they don't do that, I think you have the broad strokes of a deal here. It's aimed at getting really, you know, at least a handful, maybe a bunch of Senate Republicans on board. And it all has to do with the way that it addresses the structural deficit. Mm-hmm. But really, before they got to there, they had kind of a rare public rift for Republicans, for Republican leaderships. Generally, they keep those hidden if they exist. But last week you had Speaker Robin Voss, who not seeing eye to eye with Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Voss said he wasn't going to wait for the Senate to act on tax cuts. He called his own committee to put pressure on Fitzgerald, and he's actually going to have the full assembly vote on it tomorrow. That's just something you just generally don't see when you have single-party control in the legislature, and Majority Leader Fitzgerald was not pleased.
I think it's not necessary. I think it's not the way we operate around here, and I know I have some members that are pretty upset that they've decided to make this move.
So then he had Speaker Voss issue a statement saying, we're not going to wait for the Senate when tax cuts are a top priority for Assembly Republicans. You know, they basically stopped this public feud the next day, but it's just, it's unusual to see this. It's unusual to see what we're going to see tomorrow, where the Assembly is going to take up basically the governor's version of these tax cuts, even though they can't pass the Senate, kind of to send a symbolic message, and, you know, not caring so much if that puts Republican state senators on the hot seat.
Hmm. So what about the deal?
So the deal itself, it's not a huge change if this is all that they do. Essentially, you know, Senate Republicans were concerned with this structural deficit in the governor's tax cut plan. He would actually grow the structural deficit from, you know, around $700 million to about a little over $800 million through his tax cut plan. You had Senate Republicans saying, hang on a second, you know, we campaigned on reducing the structural deficit, and now we're going to go around when economic times are good, and we're going to raise it. And so that bothered some senators like Luther Olson of Ripon. And, you know, he was one of the driving forces behind this this proposal to tweak it.
It's hard to campaign that we got rid of a $3.6 billion structural deficit, and then all of a sudden people are saying, well, there's no such thing as a structural deficit, and it's no big deal. It is a big deal.
Okay, so there's different ways that you could get rid of that structural deficit. You could, for example, reduce the size of the tax cut. But Governor Walker said he didn't want to do that, especially when it comes to the property tax cuts. So it looks like what they're actually going to do is they're going to take another piece of the governor's plan, which is a $117 million deposit into the state's rainy day fund, and you can think of that as the state's savings accounts. It's off the books. You can only tap it when economic times are bad. They're going to take money that was going to go in there, and they're going to slide it over to the general fund, which is basically the state's checking account. They're going to put it there instead, and that's going to take care of the structural deficit. So as far as pushback on this, it would come from the Assembly, you know, with the aforementioned tension between leaders. But Speaker Robin Voss says he's okay with this.
My preference would be to put it in the rainy day fund, but if that's what it took to get a deal so we could get this bill enacted, I think I could live with that.
So what's it mean for, you know, the state's bottom line? not much exactly, although whether it's fiscally responsible is definitely up for question. John Peacock is a budget expert with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families.
I think it's ironic that some of the Republicans concerned about creating a deeper hole in the next two-year budget are now proposing not to add to the rainy day fund. That's the most fiscally responsible part of the governor's plan.
And so the Assembly is going to vote on the governor's version of this tomorrow. I don't know when the Senate's going to act, but once they do, they'll send their version back to the Assembly and it'll head to the governor's desk.
Hmm. Well, meanwhile, the race for governor continues on, and we have seen some fundraising figures in the recent week. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we have all of the fundraising data from 2013, and so you've got a decent idea of, you have a full picture of where everybody's money is coming from. And one trend that continued is that the governor, and this is according to an analysis by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, the governor raised 54% of his money from donors in other states. It's not as much as he's raised in recent years, but it's still significant given the fact that in recent years he's had the spotlight of the recall to help him raise money, and also he had unlimited donations that were associated with that recall campaign. Even though that's passed, he's still raising most of his money from donors outside Wisconsin. Also, 51% of his donations were contributions of $1,000 or more. Mike McCabe is the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's executive director, and here's Mike.
He relies very, very heavily on out-of-state donors, and he gets most of his money from people who make very, very large contributions.
Mary Burke did not have sort of the same, window to look at. She was only in the race from October through December, and so she didn't have a full years of fundraising to kind of gauge how she's going to get her money. But at least what she did so far, she only got about 14% of her individual contributions from out-of-state donors, so 86% from Wisconsin contributions. But again, she's only been in it since October. I think the more telling comparison will be over the next 6 months, when they're both in the race and the election is fully underway.
You're listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine, and we're talking with WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson about matters out of the state capitol in the past week and looking into the governor's race a little bit. If you have any questions, the number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@WPR.org. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the State Capitol Report, and we're talking with WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson. Sean, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the issues in the governor's race. One of them is a proposal by Mary Burke to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this on the program last week. She unveiled it on Mike Gushee's program. She's continued to roll it out in the past week. Governor Walker was asked about her proposal. First time he's been asked about it, her proposal to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Here's what the governor had to say.
That's what happens when you don't have a jobs plan. You pretend to have one by pointing to something like that. We have a jobs plan. We've been implementing it. We'll continue to implement it.
And Mary Burke had a chance to respond to the governor. Here's what Mary Burke had to say.
It's what I would expect from a career politician, to take the emphasis off of what the actual issue is. The issue is whether it's a good idea to raise the minimum wage to $10.10. Reducing reliance on government assistance, putting more money into our economy, and making sure that people are able to support themselves.
So you hear Mary Burke there using that career politician label. It's a little bit reminiscent of the 2010 U.S. Senate race between Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold. Back then it was Republican Ron Johnson using the career politician label whenever he got the chance, and already you've heard Mary Burke do some of that. You know, the minimum that her proposal is significant. There was talk early, at least from her, that she was in favor of raising the minimum wage, but she wasn't going to give a number as high as 10-10. Now that she is, you know, that's something the candidates will be talking about headed up to Election Day.
And did she respond to Scott Walker's point about the jobs plan? Does she have one in the works? What's her response to that?
Yeah, she said she does have one in the works. That she it's something that she takes, you know, she's taking very seriously because she plans to govern on it. She's not just going to campaign on it. She'll have it ready in the next couple months. This has been sort of a way that the candidates have prodded each other the past couple of gubernatorial elections. You know, the last time in 2010, Governor Walker was prodding, I think, Mayor Barrett to come out with his jobs plan. Mayor Barrett came out with a 68-page jobs plan, and then he was prodding the governor to come out with more details for his. And then the governor's campaign released sort of a facetious, you know, jobs plan where he just increased the font on his basically one pager. And so, I don't know if this is something that's going to resonate with the public, but it is a line of attack that they've used.
Well, last week, the ACLU filed a lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's ban on gay marriage. Have the candidates commented on that?
Yeah, because of the lawsuit, it was a good chance to ask them where they stood. And, you know, definitely very different positions. Mary Burke's was very straightforward, as you'll hear here.
You know, Sean, I don't think I have that one.
I'm sorry about that. It's Mary... we'll just move on there.
Okay.
Mary Burke. Mary Burke was basically said that she supports the right of people to marry, and you know whoever they want to. Scott Walker said that you know it's essentially out of his hands anyway, but that he doesn't hear a big movement in the state to you know to support to overturn the gay marriage ban that voters passed in 2006.
We've recovered Mary's comment. Why don't we take a listen?
All right.
I completely support people's freedom to choose who they would like to marry.
So there you have it.
All right.
Meanwhile, John Doe is back on the radar a little bit.
Yeah, and this, again, is because of the governor's campaign finance report that we talked about earlier. And part of that campaign finance report had $86,000 that his campaign paid to attorneys. This was something that happened during the first John Doe investigation, which has since been closed. But that you know raised questions about, well, what's going on here? Is this in connection with you know what people are calling John Doe 2, a five-county investigation that involves you know conservative groups? And you know, the governor basically said that you know I'm not gonna talk about it any more than what we've put in the report. It's consistent with what we've done. We've paid our attorneys for campaign advice.
And we've talked a lot about education policy on this program this year, but we might not see some action on that during the session.
Just trying to read the tea leaves. It looks like you might not see significant action on some of the big issues that people are talking about. You know, let's take one of them, Common Core. This is something that the Common Core curriculum standards that are being implemented in all the states, this is something that a number of conservatives don't like. They feel like it's sort of the federal government cramming down these standardized teaching models on the states. And some places there have been an effort to stop this or repeal it. There's been a lot of talk about it in Wisconsin, but you know whether or not they're going to actually pursue anything remains to be seen. One of the reasons for that, potentially, is that the state's business lobby, especially Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, actually likes the Common Core standards. WMC is a powerhouse in Republican politics. And WMC's Jim Morgan, you know, said that he basically talked about the reason that they like those Common Core standards and the reason that their members think it, you know, ultimately helps their businesses.
You know, we know what a high school graduate will know coming out of these different high schools because, you know, otherwise we've had standards and assessments in place in Wisconsin, but we were unable to, we could compare between districts, but we couldn't compare to other states and to other nations. And so in terms of really understanding where we were at, that was a piece of information that we didn't have.
And the real push to do something there has been in the state assembly. It's really efforts to deal with Common Core seem like they've stalled in the state Senate, although the session, you know, has potentially another month or so to go. Another issue that lawmakers have been talking about this year is the creation of some kind of a school accountability bill. So we've already got these school report cards for public schools. There's talk of expanding them to include all schools, and there's been talk of including some type of, you know, sanctions for schools that perform poorly, whether they're public or private schools. Maybe that's not going to happen. Senator Fitzgerald told the AP last week that there's no appetite for a bill that sanctions poorly performing public or private schools, no appetite for that bill in the state Senate. So the Senate's going to work on something that doesn't do that. It's going to be more related to the report cards, but without some type of punishment attached. And it looks like the Assembly is going to work on its own bill, which still includes the sanctions. So, you know, when they're headed in different directions on a big issue like that this late in the session, you know, that can be a sign that they're just both going to pass something and, you know, they'll say they worked at it, but they may not come together on this.
Mm. Well, what other legislative matters have been on your radar?
There was a hearing last week that on a Democratic bill, which is sort of rare, but it's something that a lot of Democrats have tried to kind of carve out as, you know, a go-to issue for their party, and it was dealing with student loan debt. And this is something that's had a lot of support in testimony. Senator Dave Hansen is the sponsor, and, you know, he said that it's basically trying to give people a way to deal with an issue that is just draining them financially with these student loans.
This legislation seeks to ease the financial burden on hundreds of thousands of Wisconsin citizens who have incurred debt for trying to do the right thing, paying for additional education or job training in order to pursue that American dream. And these are responsible citizens who are willing to meet their obligations. They're not asking for a handout. They are just seeking some relief and the ability to refinance student loans the same way they would try to refinance an auto loan or a home mortgage.
So the bill would let borrowers look at refinancing the loans at lower interest rates through a new body that would be called the Wisconsin Student Loan Refinancing Authority. And this would be modeled on the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. It would also let borrowers deduct up to $6,500 in student loan payments yearly on state income tax returns. The Higher Education AIDS Board Executive Secretary John Reinemann testified on this for information only. Reinemann is a Walker appointee, but he voiced some potential concerns with the bill as he saw it.
Obviously, students and families who are burdened by tremendous debt would be able to do other things economically, no question. But there is a question, I think, in the minds of some people on the left and on the right about whether creating an authority with a mandate to refinance all debt brought to it at as low an interest rate as practicable might not lead to students being blasé about the amount of borrowing they're doing.
Whether or not that moves forward beyond getting a hearing in that Senate committee seems unlikely. Senator Fitzgerald indicated that Republicans might want to do something with student loans, but probably not the Hansen bill.
Meanwhile, there was also a hearing on the Good Samaritan bill. What was that and how did it go?
This is a bill that would let a student who calls in information about somebody who's had too much to drink escape some type of criminal penalties. A little reminiscent of what they've been talking about recently in the legislature with heroin, actually, where, you know, if the idea is that you want to get people who are physically in trouble, get them some medical assistance, and you want to want the people that are with them not to be scared that they're going to face criminal penalties. So there's another Democratic bill. Don't know what's going to happen there, but definitely one that has people talking.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our last minute or so, couple of things. First of all, Fred Clark won't seek re-election. Is that significant?
It's, you know, he's just one of many, it seems like, this session, and might be a coincidence, but you look at some of the big opponents of the mining bill, Senators Schultz, Cullen, Jauch, they're all stepping down. Fred Clark was the big opponent of it in the assembly. Again, might be a coincidence, but I'm always looking for trends. But he's another face that won't be here next year. And also, last week, pretty big decision in Dean County Circuit Court. You had a judge throw out many of the capital arrest cases, saying that they were on their face unconstitutional. And so these are some of those arrests that happen and those cases that happened before the state changed its policy to, you know, one that makes it easier for people to gather at the Capitol. Those are still in the court system, and we'll see if that case affects, you know, many of the other cases that are still outstanding.
Well, Sean, thank you once again for getting us up to speed on the State Capitol Report.
All right. Thanks, Cynthia.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR State Government Reporter, and he's here nearly every Monday at this time for the State Capitol Report. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.